Hello there, this is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Thank you for joining us on Radio South Tyneside, your caring community radio. In today's Bible reading, we find Jesus telling five short parables. In the first two, we discover an element of awe and wonder. They tell of the marvel of growth. That's why I'm beginning our programme today with a song which marvels at God's world. It's a beautiful song sung by the late Eva Casti. It's called What a Wonderful World. Listen out for Katie Melua singing along too.
I see trees that are green, red roses too. I watch them bloom for me and you, and I myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue, clouds of white, bright blessed days, dark what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of the people passing by. Friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? But they're really saying, I love you. I see trees of green, red roses too.
Of Psalm 78, which was written hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus, the author writes down these words that he hears from God, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the foundation of the world. Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables, so Matthew tells us. In fact, he says that Jesus did not tell the crowds anything without using a parable. He used scenes and activities of everyday life, drawing from things that were familiar to his hearers, and in today's reading he teaches the people about the kingdom of God. Our parables in today's reading come all at once, five of them in a short space of time, rather like all of our buses coming at the same time when we've waited ages for one. The first two speak about the growth of the kingdom of God. The next two about the value and worth of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God here referring to God's rule over all of us. But the final parable talks of a kingdom still to come. At the conclusion of the age, God will judge all people, separating the good from the bad. So let's hear the first two parables from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. And afterwards we're going to hear both of them set to music from my album on the parables of Jesus called The Pearls of Great Price. Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened.
Mustard seed, tiny seed sown in the ground. Soon you're the biggest plant for miles around. How green your leaves, don't they ever fade? Birds of the air come to perch in your shade. What of God's kingdom will it come with speed? Unseen it grows up just like the mustard seed. Mustard seed, tiny seed sown in the ground. Soon you're the biggest plant for miles around. How green your leaves, don't they ever fade? Birds of the air come to perch in your shade. What of God's kingdom will it come with speed? Unseen it grows up just like the mustard seed. What are little loaves made of? Strong flour for at least, pinch of sugar, salt, fat. Let's leave it at that. That's what little loaves are made of. The yeast makes it rise, so that's no surprise. Gives life to the dough and makes the loaves grow. Without that live yeast, there will be no feast. That's what little loaves are made of.
I've often marveled that a tiny seed can, in time, dwarf a person when fully grown. The mustard seed is one of the smallest seeds in the Middle East, and yet the plant can grow to a height of over 3 metres and can be just as wide. Once it's been sown, I'm afraid there's no getting rid of it, rather like our mint or chives. Some plants are like that, but this parable shows that the mustard seed can grow into something huge under which some might want to take shelter. On the other hand, there are those who would rather root it out. Take a small amount of yeast and add it to flour. A little fat, salt and water, and in time it rises. Add a little of that dough to other batches of dough, and the small amount of yeast present has the ability to make that dough rise as well. Once cooked, the dough is totally transformed and comes out of the oven smelling delicious. Not so dough without the yeast. It is flat and biscuit-like. So the emphasis here in these parables is on growth and transformation. Like God's kingdom, both seed and yeast, given the right circumstances, are constantly on the move, rich and full, their movement not always obvious, but forever expanding outwards through time. Rather like the Christian message spreading from 11 disciples to a worldwide body of believers. God is at work, even when we don't see it ourselves. when we're weak and struggling and we can't seem to see the whole plan, we're actually part of something huge and beyond our imaginings. Of course, there have been many different interpretations as to the meaning of these two parables. Some people believe that the presence of birds in the mustard tree and the presence of yeast in the flour signify something quite negative, and say that we should guard the purity of the gospel message as it spreads and resist any cults or false teaching. But actually the tree, with large branches offering sanctuary for birds, was actually a familiar Old Testament symbol for a mighty kingdom which would give shelter to many nations. Hear from the musical The Witnesses this next song, Lord, Make Me Like You.
Lord, make me like you. Please make me like you. You are a servant. Make me one too. Just make me like you.
Listen to the next section of our reading, another two short parables, both about the worth or the real value of the kingdom of God. The first one is the parable of the hidden treasure. The second is the parable of the pearl. And we'll hear them being sung from my album again, Pearls of Great Price. Reading from verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it.
One man went to sow a meadow. One man and his spade went to sow a meadow. One man went to sow a meadow. One man and his spade took a hoe he'd made and went to sow a meadow. One man went to sow a meadow. One man and his spade took a hoe he'd made, sang and prayed and went to sow a meadow. One man went to sow a meadow. One man and his spade took a hoe he'd made, sang and prayed, dug in the ground and there surveyed lots and lots of treasure. The man who went to sow no longer. He that day sold all he had to buy that field and never more did hunger.
Search of pearls one bright and sunny day. He longed to find a rare one, but wondered what he'd pay. Then suddenly among the pearls he spied one of the best. His eyes popped out, there was no doubt, forgot about the rest. He sold his house, his field, his sword and shield, his hat from Jericho, his pocket knife, even his wife, and shouted tally-ho. He sold his dogs and rats.
Straight onto the phone, informed the bank he was quite frank and sold all that he owned. And everything like clockwork went according to his plan. He bought the finest pearl of all, now he's a happier man. He sold his bumblebees, his cats with fleas, his snakes from Timbuktu, his bed and shed, his cheeks turned red, and his pet kangaroo. He sold his pigs and sheep, it made him weep, his blankets from Peru. All these were worth the sacrifice, the best thing he could do.
These two parables surely say something about the value of the kingdom. It's so very precious. It's worth surrendering all we have to obtain it. In the parable of the hidden treasure, someone discovers the treasure quite by accident and does all he can to get it. In the other, the parable of the pearl, the merchant actively goes in search for it. Both characters are willing to surrender all for the sake of owning their treasure. What Jesus suggests here is that there is no greater treasure than being part of the kingdom of God. It's rich and satisfying, life-giving, it brings many blessings, and we should welcome it with just as much enthusiasm and desire as those merchants, whether we stumble upon it or go seeking for it. Here's a very well-known hymn, Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God, sung here by CRC Worship.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth.
The best explanation I ever heard of the parable of the pearl, which would apply also to the treasure parable, was by the Reverend David Watson of St. Michael the Belfry, although I may not explain it here as well as he did, but here goes. A man once found a precious pearl and went to buy it from the master. "I'll give anything to own this," he said to him. The master replied, "Will you give me all your money?" "Most certainly," the man replied. "And will you give me your house and car?" "My house? My precious car? Okay, yes, I will." "And what about your children? What about your wife?" "You want them too?" questioned the man. "Without a doubt," the master said. "They're yours. Now I have nothing. You have it all," he said. "Ah," replied the master, "but I need you too." "Okay, master, that pearl is so precious. I am yours." "It's a deal," said the master. "The pearl is yours, and all you own is mine. But wait, I'm giving you back your money. But don't quibble if I ever have need of it. And here, take back your house. I may need it if someone needs to stay there, so don't complain if this happens. Take back your car also, and offer lifts when they're needed, and don't charge any fee. And here are your children. They are precious to me. Make time for them. discipline them lovingly for me, care for them instead of being so preoccupied with work. And here is your wife. Cherish her. Respect and honour her, for she belongs to me, but she was my choice for you. And you have given me your life too. I choose to give it back to you. Let's be a team, you and I, and work together in the future. A good song after this story would be Here I Am, Wholly Available, sung by Chris Bowater.
But oh, the labors are so few. So Lord, I give myself to help the reaping, to gather precious souls unto you. Here I am.
Our final parable speaks of the harvest at the end of the ages, when we must face God and give account of our lives and how we've lived. I'm reading once more from Matthew 13, verse 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into a furnace of fire where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of God is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. Let's hear that final parable from Pearls of Great Price, the parable of the fish in the net.
Kingdom of heaven, like a net let down, way down, deep into the sea. And all kinds of fish, such a great variety, all are gathered in. Drag the net to shore, collect the fish in baskets, throw away the bad. Angels, do your work, separate the good from evil at the end of time. The furnace rages, weeping and gnashing of teeth. Evil reigns no more. Evil reigns no more.
God God's rule, his kingdom on earth, is beautiful. It has many wonderful facets to it. In St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, we hear of its many qualities: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The good fish represent all those who have reflected such qualities in their lives, which in turn have helped the kingdom to grow. These are the qualities God hopes to find when we meet face to face. The bad fish represent quite the opposite. Once more, in St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, he points to behaviour not expected of God's people. He has this to say: the acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But all's not lost. If a person has gone astray, it's never too late to put things right with God and seek his forgiveness, to turn to him and be part of something beautiful. We pray that in God's time he will draw us all to himself and teach us and guide our steps. Our final song says all this. It's rather like a closing prayer. I'd like to leave you with Diane Ball singing "In His Time." Bye for now.
In his time, in his time, he makes all things beautiful. In his time, Lord, please show me every day as your teacher. In your